Well, do take a seat. Now, I'd like to ask us all a question this morning, and it's this: what is your greatest challenge? Or put it another way, what is your biggest problem? Now, I hope that Mike and Annie won't say Cora. Of course not. She's, I'm sure, one of the biggest joys in their life, though I expect that she will provide a few challenges along the way. Children always do. But seriously, our challenges often include issues of health, work or lack of it, relationships, money, and many other things as well. Now, what we read in that reading from Matthew 9 this morning shows us some people who had some pretty enormous problems, but they discovered that Jesus is the answer to such challenges. Just before what we read, we find Jesus in his adopted hometown, and he meets some interesting people, and we hear some interesting words. So Jesus meets a very needy, disabled man and says to him, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And then he encounters a person that other people very much look down on. And he says, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." And then he speaks to some very keen religious types and explains that he has come not just to alter the previous religious system, but rather to bring something new, some spiritual refreshment, like the very best new wine. And then Jesus meets some other people who have big problems. Jesus was told about a little girl who didn't get out of bed one morning, or the next, or the next. In fact, she didn't get out of bed for a whole month. She was very ill, and no one knew how to make her better. Her father was a well-known local community leader, and he loved her very much. One day, her father was sitting by her bed holding her hand, wishing there was something he could do. "I know," he said. And he jumped to his feet, put on his coat, kissed his daughter, ran down the street, past the cleaner, out of the house, through the gates, along the road, and into the town. And he found his way through all the people until at last he found the one he was looking for. "Jesus," he said, falling at Jesus' feet. "My daughter," he pleaded. "Please, she's extremely ill. Please come and help her. You can give her life again." But he didn't need to beg, because before he'd even finished speaking, Jesus reached out his hand and helped him up. "I'll come at once," said Jesus. The worried father's eyes filled with tears. Jesus was coming. Might it be all right now? Well, in those days, of course, they didn't have ambulances, so they had to go by foot. Jesus' helpers knew that somehow Jesus was going to put things right, but they had to hurry. If Jesus didn't get there soon, well, it would be too late. But a crowd was in the way, hustling and bustling, jostling and pressing, pushing and shoving. Jesus' friends ran ahead, forcing back the crowd. Suddenly, Jesus stopped. His friends looked back. A frail lady was there, looking down at the ground because she felt so ashamed. This poor lady had been ill for 12 years, and she was desperate to get better. She knew that if only she could touch Jesus' coat, she would be made well. Well, she managed to touch his coat, and instantly, she was made better. But Jesus' friend said, "Look, we don't have time." And yet Jesus always had time. He reached out his hands and he gently lifted her head. He looked into her eyes and wiped a tear and smiled. "Take heart, daughter. Be encouraged. Your faith has made you well. You believed in me and now you are better." When Jesus eventually got to the family home of the little girl, lots of people had gathered. They were making noise and playing loud music, as people did in those days when someone had died. And people were crying as well. But Jesus said, "You don't need to be doing this. The girl is not dead. She's only asleep. I'm going to wake her." Well, everyone laughed at him because they knew that she was dead. Well, Jesus walked into the little girl's bedroom, and there, lying in the corner, in the shadows, was the still little figure. Jesus sat on the bed and took her pale hand. "Sweetheart," he said, "it's time to get up." And he reached down into death and gently brought the little girl back to life. The girl woke up, rubbed her eyes as if she'd just had a good night's sleep, and leapt out of bed. Jesus threw open the shutters, and the sunlight flooded the darkened room. "Hungry?" Jesus said. She nodded. Jesus called to her family, "Bring the little girl some breakfast." Now, what Jesus did was utterly amazing. What happened to that ill lady and the dead girl became so well known in the whole area that people were amazed. Well, you know, as we think of our own lives and the challenges and problems that we face, we're reminded here that Jesus is the one who can help. Jesus uniquely has power and authority to do what no one else in history can do. He might not solve our difficulties when we want or in the way that we expected, but nothing is too challenging for him. And if we look to him, we'll find that he is the ultimate answer to our challenges. But you know, the difficulties and the problems and the challenges that we face in life are part of a bigger problem that we all share. Later in the same gospel, the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus diagnoses our human experience. He says that the way that we all live and the way that we speak shows that actually we are unclean as far as God is concerned. "The things that come out of a person's mouth," said Jesus, "come from the heart, and these make a person unclean." You see, that means that we're disconnected from the God who has made us. And it means that we look in other places to help find sort answers to our problems. We look to other things in order to find meaning and fulfillment. But these, even if they're good things, can't provide what we most need. These things can't carry the expectations that we put on them. Well, later still in Matthew's gospel, we hear how Jesus died on the cross. And just before that happened, he spoke and he said that his death was to be a ransom for many. That is, God was going to pay the price in him for our disconnectedness from God, so that that could be overcome and we could be restored to him. And he told his friends just the night before he died that his death was to be for the forgiveness of sins. In other words, people through him can be made clean to God. Through Jesus' death, those who turn back to him and rely on what he has done can be restored to God. And that is our greatest need. That is the answer to our biggest problem. And that Jesus brought this little girl back from the dead points to the great truth that, of course, Jesus was brought back from the dead. Jesus' resurrection proved who he was, and that one day the whole of our problem-dominated world will be remade. So here in Jesus is the one who is the answer to our difficulties and struggles and problems. For he can provide help, strength and perspective now, and complete healing and restoration in the future and forever. Cora's parents and godparents and Kath were asked important questions earlier, questions that we all need to consider. Do you believe and trust in God the Son, who took our human nature, died for us, and rose again? And do you come to Christ, the way, the truth, and the life? You see, Jesus is unique. Jesus is like no one else, and we all need him. So we should ask ourselves, am I looking to him? Well, let's be quiet for a moment and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Heavenly Father, you know our lives, you know our needs, you know our joys, our questions. You know the things that we're happy about, the things that make us sad, our challenges, our problems. And we thank you for Jesus, whom you sent into the world in order to ultimately reset this world and to bring it back to you. We pray that you would open our hearts afresh to see more of Jesus, and indeed to put our confidence in him, that we might be restored to you and given strength for this life and great confidence for the future. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.